Hi gang, thanks for downloading this classic episode of News Fighters. Just a reminder, if you're looking for new original episodes of News Fighters, they're now over on the Irrational Fear podcast feed. So search for Irrational Fear on your podcasting app or go to irrationalfear.com for all new episodes of News Fighters. In the meantime, enjoy this classic News Fighters episode.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Home of comedy,
culture,
adventures,
and ghosts.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
With Dylan Behan.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to News Fighters. I'm your host Dylan Bain, the Mahmoud El Karim of Wacky Clips. Look him up. He was a squash player. Anyways, I'm on break at the moment. In fact, I'm recording this a week before the election even takes place. But I have to say, whatever the result is, the debates, I think, were the turning point of the election campaign and were really conclusively decided who won or lost or whatever the result was of the election campaign. So I figured this week might be a good time to revisit my 3 debate recap episodes from the election campaign. Now, the first debate was on Sky News, the second one was on 960 Minutes, and the third one was on 7, and the first one was early in the campaign, and then, of course, Albanese got COVID, and then there was the last two in the second last week of the campaign. And the debates are my absolute favourite moments of the election campaign, because I stay up till 4 a.m. and try and make jokes out of gaffes and funny sound effects, and it's just my absolute favourite bit of the entire campaign. So I thought I'd replay my debate recap episodes for you now. Enjoy. Tonight, I'm wading into the first leaders' debate, and I have to say, it's made me feel a little bit like this guy.
A man has fallen headfirst into a septic tank in Sydney's north.
He was performing maintenance on a septic tank at a property in Sydney's north when he fell in headfirst.
Yes, and although trying to find comedy gold in the first leaders' debate does make me feel like I'm literally swimming in crap, unlike the guy who fell into the septic tank, I don't have a dog named Spot to rescue me.
Luckily, local dog Spot heard the man's cries for help, prompting his owner to call emergency services. Certainly a great effort by Spot.
Yes, and on Channel 7 last night, that story was directly after the election campaign news story. And if you ask me, that was the wrong order. The septic tank guy should be ahead of the federal election news story. Much bigger, more important news, if you ask me. But yes, onto the federal election campaign, or as I like to call it, the mainstream media repeatedly kicking Anthony Albanese repeatedly because they feel like it campaign.
After a shocker of a first week on the road for Anthony Albanese.
That has been a bad start for the opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, no doubt about that.
After a bad start to his election campaign.
Bad week for Anthony Albanese.
But it's more a case of Anthony Albanese losing the week, frankly.
Right now, he's preparing for tonight's leaders' debate right here at his hotel. Let's hope he's working on the economic figures. So if asked, he gets it right this time.
Oh, I love the media's equating of these two guys. On the one hand, we have a political leader who caused millions of us to be locked down for several months because he didn't order enough vaccines, went overseas during a massive bushfire crisis, basically runs a protection racket for corrupt kleptocrats and alleged abusers, is hated by his own side, couldn't deliver a pizza if he had to, and only cares about lowering taxes and giving out money to fossil fuel companies. But yes, let's make the whole election campaign about the guy who forgot two numbers. He's clearly not fit to lead. Yes, and the media's so lazy that in describing the debate last night, they only had one description for it.
But tonight we'll get to see Prime Minister Scott Morrison and opposition leader Anthony Albanese going head-to-head for the first time this campaign.
The leaders do go head-to-head tonight in their first debate.
In tonight's first head-to-head debate.
Before going head-to-head tonight,
Scott Morrison and Anthony Albanese go head-to-head for the first time.
Yes, never gone head-to-head before except for every week when they do it in Parliament, but never mind. Yes, the debate was on Rupert Murdoch's Sky News channel, which meant the host had to actually take a break from bashing Anthony Albanese for a minute and actually listen to what he had to say, which must have been a big change for them. And now into the debate itself, and Morrison and Albanese were actually on a unity ticket when it came to forgetting people's names.
It was Mariel, is that right?
Mariella.
Mariella.
Yeah, can I ask Michael what business you're in? What?
Daniel.
The debate started with opening remarks, which of course for Morrison meant rolling out his pity party pitch he's been refining lately.
It's been tough. It's been incredibly tough. After everything we've been through as a country over these last few years, Australians are incredibly resilient. They've overcome. We've pushed through.
And you could tell the campaign higher-ups passed along some messages. Morrison got the memo not to smirk too much, thankfully, while Anthony Albanese got the memo to start using the word plan.
We need a plan for cheaper childcare, cheaper electricity. We need a plan for housing affordability. And that's why we need a plan that includes a plan.
Yes, commiserations to anyone out there who did the debate drinking game last night and had to do a shot every time the word plan was used. I hope your new liver arrives soon. Anyways, on to some of the questions from the audience. The audience was made up of 100 undecided voters. And of course, the big one that I think will be getting the media attention today is this one.
I have a 4-year-old autistic son. We are grateful to receive funds through the NDIS, but I've heard many stories of people having their funds cut recently under the current government, including our own.
Well, thank you, Catherine. What's your son's name?
Ethan,
he's four.
He's four.
I can't. Jenny and I have been blessed. We've got two children that haven't had to go through that. And so for parents with children who are disabled, I can only try and understand.
Ah, yes, good job, Mr. Empathy. Done it again. Jeez, imagine what it would have been like if there was like a bushfire victim up there pouring their heart out that their house had burned down. Morrison would have been like, Jenny and I have been blessed with a house that hasn't burned down. I can't even imagine. And speaking of houses, there was actually a question on housing affordability, which was nice, to which Morrison responded.
I remember when Jenny and I bought our first house, it was 30 years ago. It was tough then, but I believe it's tougher now. Here in Brisbane, you're looking at median house prices of about $840,000. Now, for apartments, it's around $450,000, the median.
To which everyone in Sydney responded, "Holy crap, I'm moving to Brisbane. That's so cheap." And thanks, ScoMo, for knowing all the exact figures there. If there's one thing all these debates prove is that Morrison's only discernible skill is memorising numbers. Nobody asked him to recite pi. We'll be here all day. Hey, Morrison, if this politics thing doesn't work out, you want to come down to Star Casino later, count some cards with me? Maybe. Put your skills to some use, finally. Oh, and thanks for reminding us how hard it was to buy a house in 1992 when the median Sydney house price was, let me look it up here, $183,000. Every millennial is like, wow, Scott, how did you do it? The crisis in aged care also came up as an issue, and Morrison bizarrely claimed this.
I called the Royal Commission into aged care because I didn't think the aged care industry, the aged care system, was working.
No, you called the Royal Commission into aged care for the exact same reason you always call the Royal Commission. There was a Four Corners report that made you call the Royal Commission. You know, on the ABC, the channel this debate should have been on. And then when it came to staffing levels and Labor's plan to have nurses on staff 24/7, Morrison said this.
We can't just make nurses all of a sudden fall out of the sky.
To which Labor responded, under this government, nurse catapult technology's gone backwards. We need to start building nurse catapults here in Australia. And then when it came to aged care funding, well, you just know Albanese's going to get some flack in the media for this flippant statement.
And better transparency and accountability. We want to make sure that every single dollar that goes in, we know where it's going to. Not going to profits for someone to buy a new Maserati.
Oh, you just know the Daily Telegraph tomorrow is going to have a front page story from a pissed off aged care shareholding Maserati owner about Labor trying to take their Maserati habit away from them. The next debate's going to have an irate Maserati owner at it confronting Albo. You know, it's going to be franking credits all over again, but Maseratis. A recurring theme of this debate was the two leaders just ignoring whatever questions they were asked and talking about whatever they wanted to. Here's a perfect example from Morrison.
The latest polling statistics show that voters have an all-time low level of faith in the integrity of both major party politicians. What are you going to do to restore their trust in the democratic process?
Thank you. Well, thank you, Claire. Our strong economic plan is getting people off welfare and into work. Our economic plan is about helping Australians realise their big aspirations in life.
Yes, Morrison's government lacks so much integrity, he couldn't even answer a question about integrity. He's like, oh, crap, oh, that'll make me want to talk about all my corrupt ministers. What'll I do? Economic plan and run down the clock. Always works. Then there was this question from a small business cafe owner.
During the pandemic, I think it's fair to say that a lot of small businesses like myself, we were left out in the cold. JobKeeper was not accessible to us as we were not employees of our businesses. There was a lot of friends around that were sole traders, that were contracted to others. They were not eligible as well.
Yes, and in a true sign that he has no idea how the economy works for us sole traders and freelancers who were basically abandoned during COVID, Morrison responded by saying, shut up and eat your tax cuts.
Well, we've cut taxes for small business down to 25%. Second of all, we've provided the instant asset write-off. And what that means is if you go and spend on a new piece of plant, equipment, a coffee machine, a fridge.
Yes, and also eat your coffee machine or fridge. It's an instant asset write-off now. Meanwhile, Albanese's response to this struggling small business owner was all about how he was going to make his wage bill more expensive.
We think that as well in terms of taking pressure off your small business. What we need to do is to have a plan as well to lift wages throughout the economy.
Ah, good one, Albo. Next time someone's drowning, you're going to tell them to drink water too? Why not? And then there was this question.
I read today that only 55% of 18-year-olds are currently enrolled to vote. Yeah. So I wanted to get an idea about how we're going to look at the disillusionment, I guess, externally as well as internally, coming off the back of some of those tragic stories that we've heard from federal government lately with bullying and some issues inside around that. So how can we look internally to fix that?
Now, I don't know about you, but listening to that question, I assumed it was about disillusionment with politicians and those allegations about bullying within political parties. But no, no, no. According to Scott Morrison, it was a perfect excuse to launch an all-out tirade against social media.
But one of the biggest changes has been, I think, the very corrosive impact of social media on our society, and particularly in the way that it robs and steals the confidence and hopes of young people in particular, the bullying that goes online.
Yes, but we all know Scott Morrison doesn't really care about children being bullied. All he cares about is his ministers being bullied on Twitter. He wants them to be able to unmask anyone who says anything mean about them and force social media companies to hand over identities like we're in China. And speaking of bullying, there was one fiery clash between the leaders during the debate, and it was over border protection.
Whatsoever.
So can I ask
our
a question?
Our position is very clear.
So when you were Deputy Prime Minister, why didn't you support turnbacks then?
You weren't proposing then.
No,
you
were
not proposing.
I'm sorry,
it
was our policy.
You were not
turnbacks
proposing.
Were our policy before
you
the 2013 election. I was the Shadow Immigration Minister. I designed the policy. So you were on the National Security Committee, I think, for the first time at that time. And so why did you not support turnbacks?
I was on the National Security Committee. We had established offshore processing just just at the in 2013 when I became Deputy Prime Minister. That was the first step. That was the first step.
So you were going to do turnbacks?
No.
Come on, Scott. You know Albo didn't support it then because he wasn't trying to win an election then. Give him a break. You know how it works. Anyways, on to the closing remarks, and Morrison summed up by talking about the economy, because let's face it, that's basically all he's got to run on.
It all starts with managing a strong economy. Our government has proven that with a strong economic plan that has been delivering. Unemployment falling to 4%, a AAA credit rating, the biggest budget turnaround we've seen in 70 years. The future, we're heading in the right direction. Now is not the time to turn back.
Turn back? Albo was like, I support that now, I promise, I support that now. Morrison's whole economic record he's trying to run on is a complete fabrication and mirage anyway. Unemployment is low because migration hasn't recovered after the pandemic border closures, and the biggest budget turnaround he talks about is due to a current resources price boom. This man has nothing to run on. Meanwhile, Albo's closing statement, and a theme kind of running throughout the debate, was that you should vote for him because Labor is the party of big picture policies.
The Labor Party will always look after the disadvantaged. That's why we do things like the NDIS and the big picture things for social justice. Labor does the big things. And we also do the big reforms. We did the NDIS, we did paid parental leave, we did a fibre-based national broadband network. Labor does the big reforms.
Meanwhile, everyone at home was like, we don't want any big new reforms. Can you just promise you won't go to Hawaii if there's an emergency? If you're elected, can you promise your government will not be full of corrupt pork-barreling sex pests, please? That's the level. That's the bar for leadership right now. Just don't be a government full of corrupt sex pests and don't go to Hawaii. That's all we want. Anyways, at the end, Sky News polled the undecided voters as they left and announced the winner.
35% support for Scott Morrison, 40% support for Anthony Albanese. 25% of those in the room remain undecided.
So after a debate where Morrison couldn't talk about his record and Albanese didn't land any knockout blows, well, we all know there was really only one winner today.
Great effort by Spot.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Of course, last night was the second leaders' debate on Channel 9, and what a cluster show it was. I'll tell you what, though, the promos certainly hyped it up.
Who scores the power tonight on 9?
Yes, no, sorry, that was actually the promo for Lego Masters. Here was the promo for the actual debate.
Tonight, the live election show, the issues that really matter to you.
Yes, the issues that really mattered to you, provided the only issue that matters to you is people talking over each other all the time.
You only want to get rid of the better off overall test.
No, that's not...
Your party with your tick off.
You've been telling this for your party.
When your electricity
rises, your energy and climate.
I think we're getting more questions between the two. Excuse me, I think we're getting more questions between the two of you than our panel.
Yes, Channel 9 also promised that
nothing is off limits.
Yes, and one topic that definitely wasn't off limit was lettuce prices once again. Of course, last week on the show, it was lettuce week.
How long are they going to be confronted with lettuce at $5?
How can you make a lettuce cheaper?
One lettuce alone would be 2% of that paycheck.
An iceberg lettuce, $5.50.
You can't necessarily change the price of a lettuce.
And this week, the very first question, of course, was once again about lettuce prices.
Now, we know right around the country, households are, of course, concerned about forking out to feed their families, how much the groceries are costing in their baskets every day. What can you do to actually reduce the cost of lettuce? Ms. Morrison, lettuce costs $5, we know that. How can you actually reduce that cost?
I'm joking, of course. The whole lettuce obsession at the moment is emblematic of just general cost of living pressures. And one of the greatest cost of living pressures facing families at the moment is petrol prices, something Scott Morrison said he wanted to put back up again.
Well, one of the things that can make a difference to ease the cost of living pressures is halving the fuel excise. And that's helped businesses, that's helped a lot of families. Prime Minister, will you keep that help coming beyond September?
No, that's not what we're proposing to do.
Geez, thanks, ScoMo. That's a big help. No, he did actually have one kind of weird answer for what to do when petrol prices go up again, though.
So does that mean, though, that as we see interest rates set to rise, inflation set to rise, that all of us will be paying full price for fuel?
Once we get to the end of that six-month period, then we will continue, of course, to provide those cheaper medicines.
Yes, cheaper medicines is Scott Morrison's idea for how to bring petrol prices down. I'll just fill my car up with Benadryl. Thanks, ScoMo. That, of course, was a great example of something Scott Morrison actually does well, which is not answering questions. Something Anthony Albanese actually has to work a bit harder on after these last few weeks.
What's the national unemployment rate?
National unemployment rate at the moment is, I think it's 5.4, sorry.
Caught short on detail again.
What are the 6 points?
The 6 points are what we will do in terms of, was outlined by Bill Shorten.
Ah, bad form from Albo there. Look at him trying to answer questions he doesn't know. You got to do what Scott Morrison does and just say something completely different, like he did many times throughout the debate last night.
Scott Morrison, you say that people know you, and they clearly do. So why don't they trust you?
It's been a tough 3 years, particularly the last 2 years.
Mr. Morrison, you mentioned the $886 billion Commonwealth debt a little earlier. How long is it going to take young Australians to pay that back?
They will be in work.
Will Australians continue to have access to the sports they love on free-to-air TV if you are in power, Prime Minister?
Well, we're both promising a review on that issue.
More than a quarter of the voters out there are undecided. I mean, you've been campaigning for 4 weeks. Why haven't you convinced them, Scott Morrison, that you are the one to be re-elected?
Well, you're exactly right that this is a choice. Elections are a choice.
But they're not thrilled with either of you.
Between not whether you like someone or don't like someone.
Yes, democracy is not a popularity contest. You just vote for who you don't like. That's generally how democracy works, right? Vote for who you hate. Anyways, David Crowe from the Sydney Morning Herald also had this kind of leading question towards Scott Morrison that I quite enjoyed. Check it out.
Mr. Morrison, have you seen any corruption on your side of politics in your time? And if so, what did you do about it?
No, I haven't.
Never? No wrongdoing?
No.
Never happened in the Liberal Party at all?
I haven't seen that, no.
Wow, I haven't seen someone masterfully tease out such a clearly incriminating yet leading question like that since TV's Columbo.
Oh, one more thing, sir. We got something else on the gun. Did I mention that? Before I talked to him, were you really playing chess the other night? Yes, sir, but you did kill Claire Daly, didn't you, sir?
For me, the highlight of the debate was probably when the candidates got to ask each other questions. And check out how Anthony Albanese set up Scott Morrison here with this amazing question that caused ScoMo to kick a bit of an own goal here. Check it out.
Should all Australian workers be paid at least the minimum wage?
Well, it depends if they're running a business or not. I mean, if you're running a business, I can tell you who doesn't get the minimum wage. Necessarily, small business owners when the money's not coming in.
That's not the question, Scott.
No, I'm sorry.
There are a whole lot of people out there who are working in the gig economy, and you're the Prime Minister of Australia, so they're not workers.
They're working for themselves. That's why they do it.
Your Uber driver is not a small business person. They're someone trying to get by. They're someone who's trying to get by.
And they've got an opportunity to do just that provided by a new economy business that is allowing them to take charge of their own life.
Gotta love Scott Morrison's thinking here. People who are working for below the minimum wage as independent contractors are taking control of their own lives. Why, those people I see out collecting cans, they're big entrepreneurs. The issue of China and the Solomon Islands came up, and Chris Yeoman accused Labor of being soft on China.
How can we have confidence in the Labor Party that it will stand up to China
when some of the loudest voices in the country on being pro-Beijing come from inside your party, some of your elders?
That's an outrageous slur.
He runs his speeches past the Chinese government.
Labor has always been good on national security. I tell you who Australia turned to in World War II, in our darkest hour, John Curtin.
It's got to love Anthony Albanese there being super topical and on fleek for the Zoomers with all those John Curtin references. Now, I don't know why the media keeps saying that Labor will be bad for us on China when it's Scott Morrison who stuffed up our relationship with China to begin with by repeating Trump's talking points calling for an inquiry into COVID-19.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison used his address to the G20 summit to once again call for a thorough investigation into the origins of COVID-19.
Deborah Knight from TGB Radio had a great question for Scott Morrison. Why don't you resign?
In the event of a hung parliament, will you put the interests of your party above your own interests and resign as leader if that's what it takes to form government?
Well, what I'm advocating is that votes for independents, and particularly those you refer to at this election, is a recipe for chaos.
But if that's what it takes for the hung parliament...
And that's why, in the course of an election, which is where we are right now, I'm urging strongly against such a vote, because you can't vote for someone who won't tell you how they will vote.
Yes, but Labor doesn't seem to be telling anyone their policies, and they're ahead in the polls. And also, Barnaby Joyce and the Nationals got all sorts of sweeteners for allowing net zero, and nobody knows what they are.
But Barnaby Joyce has refused to say what he's actually achieved in these negotiations and what he's extracted from the Prime Minister in exchange for his party's support.
The Nationals say they've secured all sorts of concessions, but won't give any details.
Because it's cabinet incompetence.
Deborah Knight also made the best argument for why nobody should vote for Scott Morrison.
In the result of a hung parliament, though, voters need to know if they vote for you, will they get Prime Minister Dutton?
Wow, Deborah Knight's got an interesting hypothetical there. Just imagine if the Teal independents hold the balance of power and it's a Liberal minority government and they force Scott Morrison to resign and Josh Frydenberg has lost his seat to a Teal independent, and then we wind up with Prime Minister Peter Dutton for 3 years. I think the population of New Zealand will probably double. And real estate in Sydney's inner west will suddenly become very cheap. Anyways, moving on to the closing statements, and Scott Morrison said the blindingly obvious.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your attention tonight. This election is a choice.
Between two men who constantly talk over the top of each other. Morrison's closing pitch was kind of along the lines of, you hate me, but you know me.
We're a known quantity, and in a time of great uncertainty and great risk, now is not time to risk things on the unknown. Labor have no plan. They are unknown and a risk. A small target is always a big risk. You know what we've achieved together, and we can keep achieving that.
Yes, we can keep achieving that. Whatever that is. What did we achieve? A complete lack of accountability and responsibility and leadership? We can keep achieving 3 more years of that? Meanwhile, Anthony Albanese's small target got so small that he didn't even try and differentiate himself from the white, middle-aged Sydney rugby league fan that Scott Morrison is.
I came out of the womb a Labor voter, and with three great faiths. I was raised by my late mum, who I pay tribute to today. I came out with three great faiths, the Labor Party, the Catholic Church and the South Sydney Rugby League Football Club.
In his closing statement, Anthony Albanese tried to make it sound like an urgent priority that Labor wins the election.
Childcare costs are spiralling right now. Aged care is in crisis right now. Work has never been more insecure than it is right now. Climate change is an opportunity, not just a challenge, right now.
Now, Albanese's been accused of plagiarising the movie The American President before, but I didn't think he'd plagiarise a song by Akon.
Childcare costs are spiralling. Aged care is in crisis. Climate change is an opportunity.
But it wasn't all doom and gloom. Albanese also tried to leave us on a positive message.
And we can do so much better than we're doing right now.
Yeah, just imagine if the leader was Tanya Plibersek or Penny Wong, you'd be doing a lot better. Anyways, now on to who won the debate. But it turns out that was also up for debate, because Channel 9, first of all, said Scott Morrison won.
And this is your verdict. A win for Scott Morrison, 52% declaring him as the overall winner. 48% chose Anthony Albanese.
Which, of course, led to all of the Peter Costello employees around the panel exclaiming, good job, ScoMo.
It gives us a bit of an impression. We know, obviously, Scott Morrison is more experienced in these kinds of formats. Deb, is that how you saw it?
He's a skilled communicator, and we know that. And I think on the face of it, his conviction comes through very strongly, and he can prosecute an argument with great skill, and he did that tonight. And Anthony Albanese, he looks rattled at times.
Scott Morrison is a powerful performer. I think on some things, Anthony Albanese has a halting kind of presentation which may put people off.
But I think in terms of the skill as a narrator and as a debater, I think Scott Morrison has that superiority over Anthony Albanese.
But then, just like a bad award night ceremony, it turns out the result was wrong. And the viewers had actually picked Anthony Albanese as the winner.
I'm just getting in my ear now. We've had up to 30,000 votes that have just come in on who won the debate tonight. And in fact, it's shifted. Mm. So now Anthony Albanese sitting on 51% and Scott Morrison on 49%.
Which led the Channel 9 employees to be like, oh, yeah, he was much better. Now I remember.
The debate, in fact, in the room felt to me like it was reasonably even.
Anthony Albanese is now performing better than we saw earlier in the campaign.
He was well prepared tonight and it showed.
And then, of course, more votes came in and it was tied.
He's now a dead heat. We have 50-50.
Oh, it is just and like election.
Anyway, so in conclusion, the 60 Minutes debate was meant to go for 90 minutes and only went for 75. And the real winner was anybody who didn't watch any of the debate. Now, when the Australian people go to the polls in 2 weeks and we hear their voice, we can only hope it doesn't sound like this.
I think we're getting more questions.
Now, of course, I'm up late because last night was the final leaders debate on Channel 7, and didn't they promo the hell out of it?
The final showdown. Scott Morrison versus Anthony Albanese on 7.
It's very over-the-top promo there from a 7. Of course, Sunday's debate on 9 was on after Lego Masters, and tonight's debate was on after Big Brother. And if you ask me, I think the promo for Big Brother could have also been used for the debate.
They have no idea what's happening right beneath their feet.
Over on 9, they didn't even try and compete with 7's debate. They just showed a family movie, and I think the promo for that also summed up my feelings towards the debate.
I don't want to do this!
Jumanji, welcome to the jungle. Tonight on 9.
7's debate was hosted by their chief political correspondent, Mark Riley, and I think he actually did a pretty good job. He opened the debate with this.
Tonight, the questions you want answered.
Please be 20 questions about lettuce again. That's what I want to know about. No, and then he said this.
Gentlemen, we know you're not friends, but can we be friendly tonight? Can we agree that we want to hear your policy and we want you to engage but not disrupt each other? Can we get an agreement?
Geez, Mark Riley, what on earth makes you say that? I mean, Sunday's debate was fine.
You only want to get rid of the better off overall test.
No, that's not...
Your party was your tick-off.
You've been telling this for
your party. When your
country's energy and climate.
There were some differences between this and the previous debates. For one thing, most of the questions were just asked by one journalist. And secondly, they added some annoying game show countdown music.
Now, we know that Australians through the pandemic have been taking good decisions.
Is something that I don't support.
Has ever trusted him with a financial job. I wouldn't let him near right now, and women are taking up more and more of those jobs.
Yes, with background sounds that distracting, I'm amazed the moderator wasn't Ian Turpey from Press Your Luck.
I'll still press my luck.
All right, mate.
All right, because I know I can get the big guns now.
All right, now into the content of the debate itself, and Anthony Albanese's recurring theme seemed to be, I know you're doing it tough.
Because people are doing it really tough out there. Real workers out there are doing it tough. But for people on the minimum wage, they're doing it really tough right now.
While for Prime Minister Scott Morrison, it was, haven't I had it tough?
As we all know, the last few years have been very tough for Australians. The last 3 years, last 2 years in particular, have been incredibly tough.
Over the last couple of years, we've come through the most difficult times that we could have ever imagined and couldn't have contemplated 3 years ago.
Now, the debate was structured around seven main areas or questions, the first of which was wages, which has been in the news because Anthony Albanese has proposed a 5.1% increase to the minimum wage in line with inflation, which in the debate he justified like this.
If the Fair Work Commission grant a 5% increase, that's two cups of coffee a day. And the idea that two cups of coffee a day is something that would damage the economy is, I believe, just not the case.
Yes, two cups of coffee might not damage the economy, but it would certainly damage my sleep patterns if I have two more cups of coffee a day. And thank you to everyone who's been buying me coffees at buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters. No, Anthony Albanese, of course, is saying this $8 a day wage increase would buy two cups of coffee. I say he's not trying hard enough. You should go to 7-Eleven and get eight $1 cups of coffee a day. Really, really stretch that pay increase as far as you can so you never sleep and you can be up at 2 in the morning shouting into a microphone about a stupid debate. Scott Morrison's response to Anthony Albanese calling for a wage increase was just to grab the Aussie insult phrase book and see what was in there.
He's a loose unit when it comes to the economy. Mr. Albanese showed yesterday that he is a complete loose unit on this stuff.
Yes, Anthony Albanese is a loose unit, says the man who this election campaign alone has been filmed doing burnouts in Tasmania and getting yelled at in a Newcastle pub. Can't trust that loose unit, Anthony Albanese. There's one thing I love about the term loose unit. It was the time that Karl Stefanovic mentioned it in passing to Boris Johnson, and he didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
Donald Trump, I think a lot of Australians think he's a loose unit.
A loose unit, like a fridge.
Scott Morrison didn't rule out supporting pay rises.
I'd welcome pay rises, obviously, for all workers.
Especially for politicians and prime ministers who've both received pay rises under Scott Morrison's government and who refused to take a pay cut during COVID. Good job. Of course, Morrison's idea to ease cost of living pressures was, hey, we gave you some tax cuts, didn't we?
Where families up to $126,000 a year will get an extra $420 that they'll keep of money they earn. But the tax cuts we've provided continue into the future, because they should keep more of what they earn, and we've always delivered lower taxes.
All right, Prime Minister, thank you. You are smashing out those talking points. There's something.
Yes, and Mark Riley, there's also smashing the mirage of impartiality that we used to have with debate moderators. Thanks, Mark. Anthony Albanese tried his relatable, I know you're doing it tough thing again.
It's not like they're making decisions based upon what holiday they'll have. What they're making decisions on is whether they'll buy a steak or just have to stick to mincemeat.
Meanwhile, everyone on JobSeeker is like, geez, wish I could afford some mincemeat. That sounds luxurious. Imagine mincemeat with these two-minute noodles. I love Anthony Albanese there mentioned planning where you go on holidays. You know, Scott Morrison's media advisors during that whole exchange were like, don't mention Hawaii, don't mention Hawaii, don't mention Hawaii. Now onto another big issue of the election campaign, childcare, and Channel 7 thankfully didn't want it to look like a total sausage fest, so they brought out West Australian political editor Lani Scar, who reminded everyone, hey, remember when childcare was free? Why don't we do that again, you idiots?
Free childcare happened during the pandemic. You've both spoken about it tonight. Why can't free childcare continue? Mr. Albanese first.
What we want to do is we have a plan for more affordable childcare where 96% of families will be better off and 4% will be the same. We've also said that what we will do is to have the Productivity Commission in our first term look towards whether you would move to a universal system of affordable childcare. What are the economic implications of that?
Yeah, forget the studies. I think the economic implications are everyone wants free childcare back again. Despite the fact that free childcare would dramatically increase female participation in the workforce and drastically improve the economy, Scott Morrison, of course, is against it.
What we don't do is go and promise the world when you know you can't pay for it. If you go to 90% childcare for everybody, that is a policy that all Australians are going to have to pay for. What we've demonstrated is we've been getting women into work because they want to work and they want those opportunities, and a strong economy is what provides for it. Female participation in the workforce has been at record levels as a result of the strong economic policies that has been providing opportunities for women to get into the workforce.
Strong economic policies? What the hell are you talking about? My friends tell me that the system's rigged so that it's designed so that women don't do a fourth or fifth day in the office and have to take care of the kids. That's not a strong economic policy. That's like a back in the kitchen policy from the Liberal Party here. Morrison talking about women in the third person like they're some kind of exotic species he's never encountered before continued with this.
And we've been championing women's entrepreneurship. And we've been championing women in non-traditional trades and skills. So many more women taking up jobs in the Western Australian mining industry, but also up in Queensland. I've met them down at Snowy Hydro. I've met them in the manufacturing industries. I've met them taking up these jobs and getting them the skills.
Yes, that's right. Scott Morrison is bragging about meeting women with jobs. Wow, nobody tell Jenny. She'll want one too. The coalition has come a long way, don't you think? This is quite an exciting new development for them. Wow, I mean, I haven't seen Morrison this out of touch talking about women since Sunday at the other debate.
Prime Minister, do you have a problem appealing to women, do you think?
1 in 11 women are the victims of domestic violence that results in their death in this country. 1 every 11 days, I should say.
Meanwhile, the other male leader in this two-male leader race said that more had to be done to address the gender pay gap and women's workforce participation.
Australia has fallen to 70th in the world for women's economic participation and opportunity. We can do better than that. We can do so much better than that. We do very well on education for women, but that isn't translating into those full-time permanent career jobs and those career paths.
Permanent career job? Never heard of it. Mike Riley's a curveball to the leaders was to have them try and say something nice about each other.
Surely everybody has one redeeming feature, don't they? What is the one strength, Mr. Prime Minister, that you find in this gentleman that you admire but also worries you?
So Scott Morrison, of course, couldn't help but lay the boot in.
He's shown a great deal of determination over that period of time to rise from very humble beginnings. And I admire that in Australians, and I admire that in Anthony. And that's great. But, you know, to do this job, you need to know your stuff. You need to be across the detail. You need to not make things up on the run. And you can't be loose on the economy, because too many Australians' livelihoods depend on it. And as much as I respect what he's been able to achieve, I just don't believe that he's been able to demonstrate that he's able to get across the detail to do this job.
Wow, what a turn from Scott Morrison there. Anthony Albanese, what a great guy. I hate him, he's useless. Imagine if you got Scott Morrison to give a speech at your 21st. Happy 21st, Steve-O. Oh, good on Steve-O. He's worked hard his whole life to get where he is, but he's useless with money. Nobody trusts him and never give him a job. And then it was Albanese's turn to say something positive about Morrison.
Scott's absolutely committed to his nation, and I admire that. And on a range of issues, to name one, mental health. In terms of young people, we've seen increased funding for mental health, but in particular, increased funding for Headspace and for those issues.
Yes, that's right. Under Scott Morrison, every young person is filled with a massive anxiety and hopelessness due to the state of the environment and a complete lack of secure work and secure housing. And we all have PTSD from when we were locked in our house for months because Scott Morrison didn't order enough vaccines. But at least he's put a bit more funding in to Headspace to help treat all the problems he created. What a guy. Then it was on to closing statements, and Scott Morrison made it all about you.
As a government, we've backed you in. And this is one of the big differences, I think, in what we've heard tonight. See, in the Liberals and Nationals, we believe in you.
Yes, the Liberals and Nationals believe in you, provided you're not trans.
His captain's pick candidate, Catherine Deaves, effectively withdrawing her apology for calling gender reassignment surgery mutilation.
His hand-picked candidate for Warringah, a captain's pick no less, well, she's walked back her apology for transphobic remarks.
Do you still stand by her?
Yeah, I do.
Morrison continued.
We don't believe the government is the answer. We believe you are the answer. We want to back you in. We believe a strong economy is based on you.
Yes, the theme of Morrison's closing statement was basically, government won't solve your problems, so vote for me to run the government. Meanwhile, Anthony Albanese's closing statement was basically, we can do better. And by we, he of course meant Scott Morrison.
We can do better. We can do better than that. We can do better than just continuing to drift there. We can do better than that. And we can do better than that.
Coincidentally, that's also what all the Labor pollsters say when they see how Labor is polling in Queensland. Oh,
we can do better than that.
Anyways, on to the results. And Channel 7 decided that instead of polling a studio audience to see who won the debate, they would instead ask people in pubs.
We invited around 150 voters to pubs in marginal seats right around Australia in every state, plus the Northern Territory.
Yes, that's right. Sucked in, Canberra. No, I bet they just had trouble finding a pub in Canberra that was open after 9 o'clock on Wednesday. But yes, anyway, to the results. And of course, if there's one group of people that can always be trusted to tell the truth in their political opinions, it's people who've been drinking in pubs. And let's see what they had to say.
A strong lead for Anthony Albanese, winning half the crowd. The PM claimed 34% of the vote, 16% undecided.
Yes, that's right. Anthony Albanese won the debate 50% to 34, which means Anthony Albanese is definitely going to win the election and be our next Prime Minister, because that's exactly what happened with the winner of the 2019 debate, I think. Let's have a look.
Phil Shorten has been voted the winner of the first leadership debate. Well, most commentators and the studio audience scored last night's first leaders debate as a narrow win for Bill Shorten.
Oh, well, never mind. Anyway, in conclusion, if there's one thing I learnt from the debate, it's that Anthony Albanese, if he doesn't win, at least already has his concession speech written.
We can do better than that. We can do so much better than that.
Alrighty, thanks for listening to this special repeat episode of News Fighters. As I said, I'm on break at the moment. In fact, our Patreon is paused. So if you want to support the show, please buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/newsfighters. And just a reminder, subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/newsfighters and on your podcasting app of choice. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at newsfighterspod. And sign up for our newsletter if you want to know when we'll be coming back at newsfighters.com. And don't forget, tell your friends and write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. Keep fighting and bye for now.
This is News Fighters, where we fight the news so you don't have to.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.